Hello and welcome to the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Gribble. I've been celebrating students and staff on social media since 2014. I'm in the trenches with you, and I know it's not an easy task. So if you're responsible for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more for a K-12 school district, you are in the right spot. You're going to lean in and learn some simple, actionable tips to help you reach even more people. And that's all going to happen while keeping your sanity. So let's get started. You guys, I don't even know if I have words for this interview that you are about to hear. Erin Woodiel is amazing at what she does. And what the great thing is today you're going to learn like exactly how she does what she does, especially when it comes to creating video, vertical video in real format with storytelling. We like dive into all of the specific hows and orders and all of the things, equipment. You guys are going to love it. Like after learning from her, I feel like I could produce a video like she did, and I don't have to go out and buy any equipment or be overly stressed about different things. So that's the aspect of today's interview with Erin. She is a photojournalism major. Okay. So she's got that storytelling lens and she loves to celebrate the great things happening. She works for Lee's Summit R7, and I probably just got that wrong. Lee's Summit R7, I got it right, and it's in Missouri. She's only been there since July, but she's done great things. I also want you to take a look at their Instagram page. She's going to talk of why and how and what they share on their Instagram page. So this is really going to be good. She's going to talk about how often they post, when they post, the strategy, who they're trying to reach, the timeliness of it all. My goodness, this is a good interview. I can't wait for you to meet Erin. And you guys, I just absolutely love hanging around really, really smart people. I learn from them every single day. One of the spots where I hang out the most, if you're looking to hang out more, is in my membership group. So I have a membership group that supports school storytellers from across the country on a daily basis with trainings, with support, Q&A, really the guidance and inspiration that you need to continually take your social media efforts to the next level, because I can't know everything about social media. I even do it for a full-time job. Yours is just part of your job. But if you really want to do the best work, you hang out with the right people. And one of the places that I do that is in my membership group. So if you want to check it out, socialschoolforedu.com, it's right there on my homepage. You can also head over to my services and check out membership, but I'd love to hang out with you more. Now let's get into this week's quick K-12 PR tip. Today's K-12 PR tip is just about Instagram content that goes on your feed or your grid. It is okay. I just recently had a question of what do you post on Instagram versus Facebook? Can it be the same content? Well, it can be the same content. You can certainly post the same content to both. But it doesn't mean that everything below goes on to Instagram. Instagram is a very visual place. And when you're talking about the grid and your feed on Instagram, you are really looking at those moments and those beautiful images that you really want to stick with storytelling. And it's not every reminder or timely type of recommendation or announcement that possibly can go on Instagram or Facebook. It possibly can go into your stories. But I just want to make sure that you realize, yes, you can post similar content on both platforms, but not everything that belongs on Facebook belongs on Instagram. And the big way that you can tell a beautiful Instagram page is to visit the Lee's Summit R7 Instagram page today and see the amazing images that they are sharing and admire and acquire. You guys, you could take similar pictures at your school and share those as well. So that's this week's K-12 PR tip. Now let's get into this. Totally worthwhile from beginning to end. You're going to listen to this episode. You're going to get so much inspiration. You're probably going to have to listen again, but let's meet Erin. Here we go. Hello, Erin. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
We're switching roles a little bit, Erin. You're usually on the interviewer side, and now you get to be the interviewee.
It's true, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, you're up for the challenge. We have Erin Woodiel here. She is the creative service specialist at Lee's Summit, our R7 school. Super excited to meet you. You're doing some great work there in Missouri. So, Erin, why don't you share your background and kind of what you do there for your school district?
Sure. So I actually am relatively new to my position with LSR7. That's the acronym Lee's Summit R7 Schools goes by. And I just started back in July, actually, after moving to the Kansas City area. So I spent the last 4 years of my career as a staff photographer for a daily newspaper in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And before that, you know, had a few other jobs and actually got my degree in photojournalism. So visual storytelling has always kind of been my track, the thing that I'm really, really interested in and have a passion for. And it's really exciting that I get to kind of make a pivot from hard news, straight journalism into the PR side of things while still focusing on that visual storytelling and genuine, impactful stories. And so at LSR7, I'm on a team of four.
Okay.
So we have myself, we also have a marketing specialist, and then an executive director and assistant director of communications. So my role is much more on the content production side and the story finding, curating, telling, all of that. I have a monthly newsletter. We have several different newsletters. One of them, though, is the fourth Thursday of every month. I get the R7 photo, which is dedicated to a photo essay that I get to find and create myself. So that involves some writing as well.
Okay.
Otherwise, day to day, you know, I'm going out when we have interesting events at different schools or even with the school board, or we invite, you know, local politicians to come tour some of our schools and learn about us. I'm there photographing and documenting. I also do a lot of school visits where I just bring my camera, let them know I'm coming, pop my head into some classrooms. I actually just did one yesterday. That was pretty fun. And just making sure that we are helping to bring the great work that's happening from both our staff and our students in the classroom and in our buildings, and making sure that our community at large knows what's going on and can get excited with us.
Yeah. So LSR7 is a district of how many students about? Do you know?
This year's enrollment is about 17,810.
Okay.
For the 23-24 school year.
Okay, awesome. So it's great that you have a department of four. So that is powerful. And I'm telling you guys, Instagram looks beautiful over there. So we are going to link up all of your social channels so that we can have people take a look at what you're doing. And obviously it all makes sense with your photojournalism background. And so I love it that you landed in school PR, and now we get to learn from you. So can you explain, you explained a little bit of what you do day to day, but when it comes to social media specifically, like, do you manage the channels? Like how many social media channels does the district run? Do you have school pages, and how does that all work?
Yes. So district wise, we have our Facebook page is probably the one that we have the most interactive followers, you know, engagement on. We have our Instagram account. We have a LinkedIn page that we try to keep up pretty regularly. And then we still have our handle on Twitter, but we are, or X, we are not currently posting on there right now. Okay. That's just sort of the direction we chose to take.
Okay.
And other schools do have their own accounts to a certain extent. And to be honest, we don't have necessarily a super centralized form of working with all of those individual buildings. We have 18 elementary schools, 4 middle schools, 3 high schools, along with some specialized, you know, academies, alternative secondary, all that good stuff.
Okay.
So they kind of have their own socials if they do that kind of thing. But we really focus on the district-wide messaging, and we will definitely see things on our other schools' social media accounts and, you know, bring them in, talk to them, get what we need. So my role specifically, I focus on our Instagram. We have our Facebook and our LinkedIn that our marketing specialist is formally in charge of. But that said, we're a very collaborative team. I don't think any of us really totally feels siloed into being the sole person who ever touches any of our accounts or any of our work. So a lot of times we will cross post. So some work that I create might go on both channels. And in that, if that's the case, I might schedule the social post to run both on Facebook and Instagram. But it really comes down to who's monitoring those accounts, who's, you know, checking our analytics, who's making sure that the decisions about what content goes on which page is appropriate. So Instagram is my lane.
Okay. All right. I like that. And I like the fact that you do post some same content, but you just would communicate. And then your marketing specialist person is the one that's really paying attention to the main content that's on like Facebook and Instagram and monitoring comments, because of course, social media, I mean, yes, you put the stories out there, but you got to be there to kind of respond to any questions that come in or, you know, engagement that you do get. And so that's how you guys have chosen to split it up. So that's awesome.
And so, we have actually a social calendar as well that all four of our team members decide on together. So we collectively think about, okay, we have a hole on Wednesday morning. What should we put on this Wednesday? Oh, I have something that I think might be really nice. Oh, this is something we already posted on Facebook, but maybe our marketing specialist says, I think that would actually make a really good LinkedIn post. I can see us getting a lot of engagement. So we're all aware of what's going on and we're making those decisions kind of as a group.
Okay. And do you guys meet on a weekly basis or how does your team kind of come together? Do you communicate with Slack or what? How does that work?
Yeah. So we do have like a Google chat since we use Gmail and all of that. Okay. We need to say something quick, but we're all working in the same pod. Our desks are nearby. So every morning we have a 9 a.m. touch base. And that can be sort of a story pitch type of meeting where we can say, here's what I've been finding and seeing or hearing. Here's where I think we should go with that. But it's also a good time to just look at our content calendar and get it straight with, okay, who's in charge of scheduling this post? What do we have coming down the pike? Are we really light on content for the week and what can we do about it? And then once a week, right now ours are on Mondays, we have a dedicated time that's more of our formal team meeting to really sit down and dig into, you know, hiring and recruitment strategies, you know, bigger event planning that we're doing, those kinds of like heavier lift type of things.
Okay. So I really love, and we've got all sorts of people listening to this that are like, I wish I had a department. I just did get to do this part-time, but there are some people that do have bigger teams. So that daily touch base meeting at 9 a.m., about how long does that meeting last?
It can vary. Sometimes we sit for 10 minutes and we just kind of run through, all right, are we all on the same page? We're all on the same page. Good. Got it. Good. And other times we end up having like a half hour long meeting. If we have a lot of interesting details that we're looking to include, if, like I said, if we're light on content, then sometimes it takes a little bit longer to, sit and think through how we want to approach something, or, we honestly kind of try to decide what day of the week certain kinds of posts might be better for. So we might say, oh, that's a really great Monday morning post to get people excited and back into the week. Or actually, that's a kind of a good Wednesday afternoon post where people aren't necessarily wanting a call to action or anything like super intense, but we just want something in the evening to remind them that we're here and that something fun happened. We make those sort of decisions. And yeah, the time varies depending on how many new pieces of information we're bringing to the table.
Is it a standing meeting? I'm just wondering.
We sit down, we go into someone's office and we just kind of put a chair next to wherever they're sitting.
Okay. Because it just reminds me of, and I'm sure this is probably frequently done in the news world, like in a newsroom or a newspaper where you're kind of meeting every day. But in a way that's what we are as school communicators. So my background, way back in the day, I was in manufacturing. And so we would have a daily standing meeting with like the supervisors of the different departments so that, hey, if we need help from somewhere else, but it was standing so that it was like, okay, nobody's going to go off in a tangent too much. And so that's why I asked if it was standing, but really good.
Yeah. Three of the four of us are former journalists. So we definitely take a bit more of we're not totally a newsroom, but sometimes we can take more of a newsroom approach to things than others.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And we get to learn from you. So that's awesome. So you recently had success with a day in the life video. So I want you to just tell me about that project, how you got started. And then I'll ask some questions from there.
Yeah. Our day in the life video, we've published one as of the time we're talking here. I just finished up another one that we're hoping to get up online relatively soon. And we are actually sort of looking at staffing as a whole when it comes to these days in the life. So it was not intended to be a standalone video. It's a series that is ongoing. So the first one we did was with a first grade teacher, where I got to hang out in her room for an entire day, just, you know, showing literally what her day looks like. And then I also just finished up one with one of our building managers. So he's in charge of the facility for one of our elementary schools, you know, custodial efforts, all of that. He kind of like runs the team. Okay. And we're also looking at a few specialized administrative positions too, to just kind of show. And it's part of a larger campaign we're working on related to hiring and recruitment. Okay. So this idea was sort of born out of a content generation brainstorming session for specifically hiring and recruitment. How do we get people interested in coming to work for us? And one of those ways was to give people a real look at what these different jobs entail. But it does the, you know, double lift of also uplifting people who do amazing work in our schools. So rather than only putting it on our careers page or only targeting it as a hiring ad, we are putting all of this kind of content on our actual social media accounts as well, because there's no reason we want it to exclusively be a hiring advertisement. You know, we can get a lot more mileage out of letting people see that work, and it's genuine and it's real. We don't want to make it too polished. So that's sort of how that came together. And if you see it on our feed, it doesn't take far to scroll back and find it. You'll see it's cell phone video that we took, and it's vertical video. So it's easily just, you can click and go right from your phone or your feed. And it actually ended up, Facebook decided to put it on everybody's, you know, real feed as it was scrolling through. So we're up to like 3,000 something interactions on it. And, you know, in the dozens of thousands of views, we have hundreds of comments, and it kind of went beyond our usual engagement, which was pretty exciting to see.
Yeah. Okay. So I love all of this, and I hope, Aaron, that you will consider entering this into one of the contests for ENSPRA. definitely we do. I do an annual awards too, for Social School for EDU. And so I'd love for you to also to enter it in that, because this is just a great idea. And like you said, it's hiring and recruitment, but you know, you talked about, hey, you know, showing, highlighting the great work being done, but also giving people a glimpse of what's happening inside the classroom, because that's what I noticed when I watched, with that first grade teacher, you know, you just sat there, you know, throughout the day, and we're able to look at some of the different activities and how she taught. And, you know, so you're saying you just did a cell phone. We did it. You did it vertically. So then did you end up publishing that basically as a reel?
Yes, we did. Okay. It was more, a little more effort on my end. I wasn't posting like throughout the day. We weren't following and, you know, posting live or anything. I aggregated way too many little video clips throughout like a 9-hour day. And then I edited it together to perfectly fit within the minute 30 mark, somewhere in there. We're trying to keep it down to that. I forget if you can't publish anything over a minute 30.
Right. It is a minute 30 on Instagram still. I think, you know, TikTok has inched up a little bit, but I think Instagram's still that 90 seconds. And so the fact that you were able to get a full day in 90 seconds is awesome as well. Now, did you edit on a special video editing, or did you edit right in the Reels app, or how did you do that?
Oh yeah, I use Adobe Premiere for all of my video editing, so that's what I'm really comfortable using. So even though this was less of a formal video than a lot of what I use Premiere for, that still was what made the most sense to me, and it allowed me to drop in all my clips, edit my audio, because the way that it works is at the very end of the day, I asked this teacher, Miss Millay, to sit down with me. And I just asked her if she could walk me through and kind of tell me the story of a day in the life of her. So then she sort of is the voiceover of the video, and it's her own voice saying, first we start with this, then we go into our reading block, you know, after that we do this, and it's a nice opportunity for us to connect. So I was able to get her own perspective or her own words as to why they're doing what they're doing. And then, so I edited that down because that was probably about 5 minutes of us talking.
Okay.
And then I pulled the quotes that were the most succinctly descriptive of each chunk, pushed them together so that they would make a minute 30, made sure it all flowed nicely, and then dropped my B-roll, my, you know, clips throughout the day to match up with what she was saying. So it was a bit more of an involved editing process, but then we published it on our social platforms as a reel on Instagram and as a video on Facebook.
Okay. So I really like this because Erin's breaking it down exactly how she did it, because I would have wondered sometimes when I edit the video together, then you try to do the voiceover over the top of that. So what you did was at the end of the day, you said, just describe a typical day. And she read that out to you. You trimmed that to the minute 30, and then you trimmed the video pieces that you got throughout the day to that basically basic minute 30 that you had limited on the audio. So everybody, you know, I don't know if your brain works like mine, but I sure like it when people just tell me how it works, because I probably would have tried to do it the other way, where it was like, I would try to go and make the audio and then come back and get a voiceover from the teacher and have them try. And actually, that's how, Erin, I do a lot of my teaching on Reels, where mm-hmm. I will do my video first and then do the audio to try to go with it. But I think you just gave me a great idea of do the audio first, and then I can trim the oh my gosh. I love how this makes me better, you guys. That makes more sense, because I'm always like trying to go really fast because I quick switch to the next screen and I don't need to. I can talk it out and do mm-hmm. the audio first. Okay, sorry. Does that
No, that's okay. Honestly, it's what I learned makes a lot of sense for me, because again, this is part of my background as a photojournalist, is that I went to a journalism school where the storytelling, the effective communication is the first part. And then it's once you know how to tell a good story, once you know how to craft a good narrative, once you know how to edit audio to be nice, then it's okay, now how can we show that with visuals? But the storytelling component is always that undercurrent. So I got to come into this position really understanding that. So for me, the audio, that voiceover, is going to drive what your story is, what your narrative is. You can have a lot of really cool B-roll, but if, like, let's say 30 seconds of your B-roll is from one really cool moment in the day where you had a lot of video opportunities and then you had very few, it's going to feel much more disjointed and hard to then drag out your sentence for one chunk and speed through the next. So instead, get the story down and then drop the visuals that help represent the story. And I found it comes together a lot more easily. But honestly, my husband is also in media. He's a sports broadcaster, and he works for a baseball team here in Kansas City, and he makes highlight reels. And it's so funny when I watch him make videos, because our brains are like opposite, complete opposite. Mm-hmm. He always cuts together the highlights, because for sports, the highlight takes as long as the highlight takes.
Right.
You know, if someone is running between, it's a double play, for example, in baseball, it takes as long as it takes for them to catch the ball, throw it to the next base and get that double play. And so he cuts together the highlights to make them snappy, but get what you need out of them. And then he plays back the video and just speaks over it, because he's a broadcaster. So he's really good at speaking into the space that he needs to fill. And I am not that kind of person. So
yeah,
it can be both ways. I've seen it. He makes amazing content, but it doesn't make sense to me logically.
Yeah. Okay. So that is just a great point, because I think I was trying to do it that way, and some people are wired to do it that way, and it'll work out really well. You know, I'm not a woman of few words, Erin. You probably realize that. So it's like, I need help, you know, cutting it down after the fact. But both can work. Mm-hmm. So what was the feedback that you got from that first video? And hopefully by the time this airs, maybe that second video will be out. And you guys, mm-hmm. we're going to link to that first grade teacher. I'll link right in the show notes, so you guys can take a look at what this is, and think of using the same concept for your school, but maybe the building manager one will be out as well. But what was the feedback?
The feedback was really great. We had a lot of people, the kind of our first round of feedback was from our actual community, the people that who were seeing this when we posted it to our Facebook and our Instagram directly. We got a lot of great comments that were just saying, you know, we love you, Miss Millay. You know, this is a great example of what a first grade teacher should be. We love seeing dedicated educators. It was just really positive and fun to see former students or parents of former and current students reaching out and saying, you know, yes, she was amazing at, you know, helping or handling whatever. Actually, one of the students in the class currently who was in the video a little bit, his mom even commented and said, she has done so much for our family. We love seeing that you are highlighting her. So just on the whole, people were really excited to just kind of get into a classroom for a day and see how it works. And then our kind of second round of feedback came when the algorithm, as social media does, decided to push it out to kind of a global audience. We got a lot of people from like around the world who were watching this video all of a sudden. And we had some surprising feedback jump out at us because again, like this is for recruitment, but that we weren't necessarily, I wasn't trying to push certain parts of her day more than others. It was just literally here's a day. But one part of her day was that she gets to send her kids off to lunch and recess and then go have lunch in the break room with her fellow first grade teachers. And that duty-free lunch is very, very rare. And so we ended up getting tons of teachers or just people from all over the place who were commenting and going, oh my gosh, hold on to that job. You got a duty-free lunch. That's crazy. And it like accidentally kind of promoted a really cool benefit of working for our district is that our teachers do have duty-free lunch. Yeah. So that was cool. We had, of course, some people going, oh, this looks like, why doesn't she look stressed out? You know, teachers have it really hard. Yeah. You know, this isn't a realistic look. And it was kind of interesting because I agree it was a relatively good day. And I agree as a PR person, I didn't focus a lot of video on her working with kids who are having behavior challenges. But right. Also, I did show like that is truly what the day looked like. There wasn't a lot. She's really good at managing her classroom, right. Really good at helping kids. I have a clip in there where you need to take a wiggle break because everybody was just too, you know, unable to settle. So we put on an alien dance video and had all the kids just groove on the carpet for a little while. So it's just kind of those positive ways of adjusting behavior. So it didn't look like she was yelling at her kids because she wasn't yelling at her kids. She was really finding these positive alternatives to getting kids in their chairs, on the floor, moving, talking, small groups to help first graders kind of cope. And it was nice to see people responding well to that.
Yeah. I just think too, like Erin, what a great experience for you to be part of all of that too. And now with getting to do this with some other positions, how much it strengthens your understanding, your empathy, your, you know, all of that of what the staff members are going through too, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. It was really fun because I'm usually popping into classrooms for a little bit at a time. So the exhaustion I felt witnessing an entire school day with the first grade class, you know, was like nothing compared to, I'm sure, what it's like to be with them every single day. But it was nice to get a deeper understanding, like you said, of what they go through, because it is my job to understand that and help educate people and tell them what's going on in our schools. So that was great. And the building manager, I'm sure, will be up, honestly, in the next few days from now. So it'll definitely be up by the time this runs. Okay. And I highly recommend watching that one too. We love this man. His name is Leander. He's really an amazing building manager, but his relationship with the kids was something that was a really fun surprise for me to get to go see. You know, it's a lot of clips of mopping and sweeping and taking out the trash, but more than half of it, honestly, was just kids running up to him to give him a hug or, you know, him talking, and you'll see it, but it's just, it's really cool because I don't think people understand what being a building manager is actually like. They think of it as just the cleaning, but there's a yeah. whole other relationship building side of it that you wouldn't necessarily see.
Okay. I got a quick question that I just thought of. So you're doing voiceover with the teacher. Did you adjust the volume a little bit so that you can hear a little bit what's going on in the background of it too? Or did you totally leave that out and just have the voiceover?
I just have the voiceover, and then I let the voiceover have a breather while I include a clip of intentional sound. Because so much of the audio is just kid chatter or a teacher talking, it would end up being really distracting, and I don't think you would gain any more information other than, oh no, it's hard to hear. So instead, again, with the wiggle break, she says, sometimes we have to get our wiggles out in the voiceover. And then it cuts to you actually hear a clip of the little alien dance party song while the kids are dancing. And then the next clip moves on, and she says, next we go into our math unit. So in that way, and I do the same thing. I did the same thing in the other ones I'm making too. So the voiceover, and I put just some general nice happy music underneath it, and then let the natural sound come through and be the primary audio when it's necessary, when it helps tell the story in a compelling and succinct fashion.
So the voiceover ultimately had to be less than 90 seconds, because if you're going to leave in a few clips of that, but it's probably just enough to break it up. How did you add the captions on the video?
Yeah, so again, I use Adobe Premiere for my video editing. So once I edit my video together that doesn't have the captions on it, I export that to get my the audio of the whole thing, and actually run that through Otter, which is a transcription service. So it's Otter, OTTER.AI. And that is a version of AI that does take audio and transcribe it the best it can. So then I go in and fix whatever didn't get transcribed accurately, make sure that's solid. That's actually able to be exported as, I want to say it's a .srt file.
You're right.
But in Premiere, you can actually upload captions in a specific caption portion of the editing software, and it'll drop those in, and then you can edit them, adjust how many words you want per slide, basically, and then kind of layer those on top of your B-roll to make it happen. And you can change where they appear in the screen. You can move them around just like you would any other graphic.
Did you p also put it like on a YouTube or Vimeo channel so that you can then embed it, like you said, maybe on your career page? Or how else did you use the video?
We don't have it on our YouTube yet, but we do have a YouTube channel. I don't think I said that in our socials earlier. We do have a YouTube channel, and they will go on there as well. They would be embeddable later. We're still kind of aggregating our career stuff so we can kind of do one big, I guess, presentation of that particular campaign. So it's not up yet, but yeah, we kind of use YouTube as more of a place to hold our videos than anything else.
Yeah, and you can direct people there pretty easy. I also just want to throw out, yes, you can use the caption sticker probably in Instagram Reels as
Oh,
well.
sure. Yes.
And then you are able to edit that as well. So it's maybe not quite as accurate, maybe as Otter, but that would be another option. So I'm just excited, just the way that you were able to break that down for us today, Erin, because I think whatever kind of whether it be a day in the life or whether it be some other type of project that you want to be able to highlight, some special program or some special event, the tips that you really broke down, I think, can be used by everyone. One last question. When you interviewed the staff member at the end of the day, that first grade teacher, did you use a microphone or did you just have the phone close to her mouth so that you got good audio?
I just held the phone in between
Hey,
us.
I love that. So we cannot let tools get in the way of our storytelling. Erin did this all with her cell phone. And even if you had a cell iPhone 8, which I think that's what my husband still has, it's still a great camera, and it'll do great audio and all of that. So I love the fact that you didn't have to use anything special, but you definitely wanted to probably record that when kids weren't in the room. So
Yes, we waited till they all went home for the day. And the other thing with the cell phone, sorry, I
No.
also get on long
Yes, I love it.
tangents. But the other thing about that, just if someone's looking to do a video kind of like this, something that I I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about is over collecting video, and you might feel like you have way more than you're going to use, but that's actually a good thing because then you can actually pick from a multitude of clips which one's really going to serve your purpose well when you're making the final video. For this day in the life, I did not know what was going to end up being what I wanted to spend the most time on in the middle of the day. I had no idea what the rest of the day was going to hold. So I didn't want to only get two little clips and all of a sudden at the end of the day, she's doing the voiceover saying the most important part of our day is X, you know, and I just don't have enough. So during reading lessons, math lessons, hopefully again, you'll see it in the video, but I have a wider shot of the teacher at the table helping the students. You can see their faces and their interaction. Then I have a top-down shot where I actually like held my phone over their table. So you can see their hands on the little cubes they were using to count to visually and physically represent the math equation. So I got the details of their hands moving the items on the table. And, you know, and then we jump back to one of their faces talking and saying something interesting. So getting multiple angles of the kind of the same moment can really help you make it look like it's a lot higher quality production without requiring a lot of tools. It's truly just being able to do what we call sequencing, which is the same moment, but you're tight, you're medium, you're wide, you're varying where you are. So it kind of looks like you were everywhere at once.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. I'm so excited. This is so, so valuable. And I think, so this is a little bit longer of an interview. You don't have a hard stop, do you?
No, I'm okay.
I still got some questions. So everybody listening is like, Erin, tell us more. So yes,
I also talk a lot.
No, I'm just getting really excited about this. And so I really value what you've shared so far and good work. So this is going to be super helpful. Now let's break out to Instagram. Your Instagram page is, I got all caps, beautiful. It's beautiful. So tell me about your strategy with like your feed and your grid and how you tell stories on Instagram.
Yeah. So a lot of the decisions about how we were going to run the social accounts were made before my time, since I'm still pretty new. I inherited this position from another really amazing photographer and school PR person who actually moved to a different district to kind of get a step up in school PR. So I really wanted to do right by her and the team. So our Instagram is basically a more curated space for our content. Yeah. We want to have a consistent visual language on that page because we want it to be really engaging and inviting, and we want it to look very polished. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we don't really do we rarely kind of do submitted content on Instagram. Instagram is really my place as the photographer to shine and post my best work.
Okay.
So the way that works then is that when we have interesting content, it's always going to go on our Facebook. Our Facebook page is our largest audience. It's where our parents largely are. So informational flyers, you know, can go on there. But all of our, you know, we have a scene around LSR7 kind of theme where if I just pop into a school for no particular reason and get some photos, we can post that with just this week. We, you know, this was seen around LSR7.
Okay.
That goes on our Facebook too, but our Instagram is just for those kind of high quality images that are really storytelling, really engaging right then and there, along with then reels, of course, and that sort of thing. And really the reason we chose to separate that out is because Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and everything, but Instagram is a different audience. Instagram is the one place where we can reach our students because current students, high school, middle school, whatever, they're not on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That's not the best way to reach them. And we don't want it to be a lot of infographics, a lot of text, a lot of, you know, explainery from the admin kind of content either if we're trying to reach our students there. So we certainly have a lot of parents and families and community members on Instagram as well. But we want to make it something that's exciting to look at. You might see your friend or your teacher or if you are a teacher or a parent, you might see a student you know, and that's sort of the way we can bring that engagement in. And the other piece of that too is that it is not a timely platform.
Okay.
Technically, you can change your settings. I believe you still can to chronological if you want to, but largely Instagram, like I'm regularly on my feed getting Instagram posts from 3 days ago. So saying on Instagram, don't forget today's the day. People aren't going to see that mostly until after that date is passed. So instead of making it an information platform in a timely manner, like a news platform, it can really be, hey, last week, this really cool thing happened, but we've packaged it. We've made the photos look really nice. And now we're presenting it here as our best of the best of our district.
Yeah. So what about stories? Do you use Instagram stories much?
We do sometimes. And a lot of times that'll actually come into play where our marketing specialists and myself will kind of work together, because that's one thing I'm very blessed with my team is there's a good understanding that one human being cannot do every medium of storytelling at the same time at one place. And so if there's something we want me to get really high quality still photos of, then our marketing specialist might go with his phone and be in real time posting to our story about what's happening. For example, we had for Small Business Saturday a couple weeks ago, we had a bunch of middle school and high school students do a client connected project of window painting on downtown storefronts for the holidays. So the client, which was the businesses, told the student, the art students, what they wanted on their window, if they had specifics or what style. Do we just want a border on the window? Do we want a big cartoon thing? And it was up to the art students to design, get approved, and then paint those projects. So we went around downtown. I had my actual DSLR, you know, big camera. And then my coworker, Evan, our marketing specialist, just took his phone out and got some quick interviews with the students of what it was like working on this project. What are you doing? What was your process? So our story and then a couple of reels we had as they were working, you know, he went at the beginning and then towards the end to say, wow, look at the finished projects. You can follow along throughout the day what they were doing. And then the next following week we posted last week, students got a really great opportunity. And there was an Instagram carousel gallery that is actually on our grid of the higher quality still photographs that I took. Okay. So it's a nice way. We don't use stories as frequently as our grid, but when there's something that's worth showing what people are doing right now, it's a great way to kind of do that live. I don't want to say low production because it's still high quality, but simpler, just in the moment kind of content.
And it's acceptable and people like it. And the stories are up for 24 hours, but then you have the great content, the great pictures that you're taking, and you can share those later. I also like that you talked about, you know, Instagram's not very timely, because that's something I certainly teach, Erin, and I'm not an expert, and I'm definitely not a photography expert. We don't have the best images. We do have to rely on our staff getting those to us for a lot of our schools. But those reminders, you can put those in stories. Okay, they're only up for 24 hours, but you don't put those on the grid because one, they might not see them till 3 days later. And two, if it's 2 weeks later, I don't really care that there was, you know, late start or early dismissal on a specific day. I want to see those beautiful images of what it's like going to the school and, you know, all of that. And so that's really what you're highlighting with the content you're posting. So take a look. You're going to have a little bit of Instagram envy, as we call it, but take a look at the LSR7's Instagram page. What is your Instagram handle? Just so we,
I'm going to double check that because I believe it's Lees Summit R7. So LeesSummit R7. There's no punctuation in that. It's just straight through. And seven's a numeral.
Okay. And we got it. We got it linked in the show notes too, but sometimes people are listening and they just want to know, or they're like, I want to type, I'm on the treadmill. I'm not driving. I'm on the treadmill. And I'm going to try to type in this Instagram page right now. Okay. You use the hashtag R7Proud in like every post. So what does that hashtag mean and how long have they been using it? Maybe it was before your time in your storytelling.
Yeah, they've been using it for a few years. It was before my time, and actually before one of our assistant director's time too, because I'd asked her about that. So we've had that hashtag for quite a while, and it's really just a way of unifying our district by no matter what school we're posting about, no matter what age range we're posting about, if it's extracurriculars, if it's regular academics, if it's, you know, all over the place, that hashtag R7Proud is just kind of a consistent branding thing that helps show, as a district, all of these stories are part of one collective larger story of who we are as a district. There's always a lot of school pride, and we let school accounts kind of handle those things.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just a nice way of making sure that everything we post, we're not just excited about that school that day. Even if we're just posting about that school, we're posting about it because they are representative of R7 as a whole.
And I'm assuming that there's a lot of other people, those schools and everything, they will also use that hashtag in some of their posts so that people can see what's happening in the school district.
Yeah, they do to a certain extent. Okay. I think our communications team is the one who definitely like makes sure it's there.
Okay. Yep. That's really good. Okay. Instagram. I just want to go back to one more question. And yes. I know it doesn't have to be like the grid posts don't have to necessarily be super timely, but can I ask how often are you posting on the Instagram grid?
Sure. I would say roughly 3 times a week.
Okay.
I mean, we always have a social post at least once a day. We aim for twice a day.
Yep.
But it just depends if it's only going on Facebook or if it's going on both Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
So we're more looking at, when I think about how we're planning our content, we're not necessarily looking at how long ago we've posted on Instagram, unless it's been like a whole week. And then we'll be like, all right, we need something. But that doesn't really happen because we have a lot of great content. And part of my job is to make sure I'm consistently, you know, having new stuff to bring to the table.
Right.
It's not like we aim for a specific number much as we have on our social calendar, we've got a morning at 6 a.m. and an evening at 6 p.m. Friday, we bump that up to 3 or 4 p.m. because people are getting out of there.
We do too.
Yeah. So it's just a good way of, we always have something on social. And then if it comes with photos that I've taken, more often than not, that'll make it onto our Instagram as
okay.
well.
Because it's more about the content. More about what content goes on there, but you are pretty consistent with getting 2 or 3 posts on there a week, so that you've got good content to show up. All right. Well, we have chatted a lot, and Erin, I think I'm going to have you back because this was so, so much fun. And I really want to encourage you, at least for my social media awards, you better submit. Okay.
Okay.
As long as you're on my newsletter, you guys, you'll get invited, and it's free to apply. So that's super good. But as we wrap up, Erin, what would you say is your best social media tip for our listeners?
My best social media tip is that genuine moments are always going to be the most engaging. So even if you don't feel like you have the best equipment as much as you would like it to be, or whatever it is, finding those real moments and being able to share those with your audience is going to be a lot more engaging, and people are going to get really, really excited about it. I have kind of they kind of feel like opposite thoughts, but they're both true somehow. So the first one is that I've been having to learn, I'll start with the other one. Sorry.
That's okay. That's good.
The first one I'll say is that, it's something that, at least in photojournalism, we usually call it a grip and grin, which is a kid holding the thing they just made and going into the camera. And those are nice, but if you can be there while that student is making that thing, or if you can be documenting a teacher and a student, or two teachers or whoever, interacting with each other, smiling, talking, something that shows the action, that's really compelling. And that's going to be something that people are going to be interested in. They want to see that process, just like hopefully everybody listening enjoyed hearing me explain my process of making my video along with the final product. It's really nice to be able to be there while the interesting things are happening whenever possible, especially for one person shops. I know that's real hard, but grabbing something after the fact is fine. Being there in the moment is going to be so much more compelling. But on the flip side, one of the things I've had to learn a little bit and let go of, because as you'll see on the Instagram, I care a lot about really high quality photos, really good moments. I set myself a really high standard for what's publishable. But sometimes I have to remind myself that grip and grin tells an amazing story. And the reason that photo was even taken in the first place in that classroom on a teacher's cell phone or whatever it might be, maybe the composition isn't exactly what I would have done, you know, but you can see on their faces how much fun they're having, or the caption that goes with it is so important. Some of those posts get much more engagement than any of my pretty photos ever will. So, you know, in either direction, it's about the moment and it's about what story you're telling. And if you're going into making your post with the intention to convey why this matters, why it's important, instead of just tossing up, here's a photo because, you know, really getting at that why is going to make those genuine moments that really happened be brought to the rest of your community, and your community is going to respond much, much more strongly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of the quote where it's like, perfect is the enemy of done, I think.
Yes.
But, you know, so it's like, sometimes it's like the story's worth telling. Maybe the picture's not perfect, but right, you can get there. And every picture isn't going to be an award-winning picture. And I think sometimes that's hard for people like you that have the bar set really high and you've got the skills to make it happen. Sometimes it can't, but it's amazing. We got to get those stories out there because our community really loves to see the things going on. So Erin, you probably got like 50 new best friends out of this podcast.
Like, yeah. I said, I'm new to the industry a little bit, so I'm always looking to make friends.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely a friend now because Erin, I like to hang out with really smart people because they teach me a lot and I've learned a ton today. So if somebody's listening, Erin, what would be the best way for them to stay connected with you?
I'm honestly, my Instagram is
okay.
Available. I mean, it's my personal Instagram, but it's an easy way of getting a hold of me. I can also give you my email address too, if that works.
Okay. What's your personal Instagram handle? Just so we got that.
Yeah, that's Erin, Erin dot Woodiel, Woodiel.
Okay. And then your email is what?
Email is Erin dot Woodiel, same deal, at lsr7.net.
Okay. So we're going to link both of those in the show notes. You guys reach out to Erin if you've got more questions. Definitely follow her Instagram page for some great inspiration. What I love, Erin, too, is, you know, your nice DSLR camera is great, but I can't work one of those to save my life. And I've said for 10 years, I'm 10 years in this business, that I've wanted to learn, but I still haven't. This iPhone, if I look at one of your really great pictures, I bet I can take the portrait view of my iPhone and almost make a picture just as awesome. So draw some inspiration from what you see and use it on your page. And then let us know, let Erin know. I'm just really proud of the work you're doing, Erin. And I think you have a real ability to be able to explain it in something that I certainly understand, and I'm sure our listeners did. So I hope that as you progress in this whole school PR world, Erin, lean into sharing some of this with others, whether it be your state chapter, whether it be at the national level, that we're going to Seattle in this summer, but lean into that because you have a gift there. So I'm so excited that we got to chat today.
I am too. Thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun. I always get excited when I get to talk about what I'm passionate about. And it's a blast to be with someone else who also is into it. Plus, being from Wisconsin is great, as I am too.
Oh my gosh, where are you from?
Madison.
Oh, my daughter goes to school in Madison now. Maybe we talked about that, but yeah.
I think we did, but yeah, you met a lot of people that day.
Okay. I did, but she's a Badger and awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Erin. Please, you guys reach out, look at the content, and we'll be back next week with another great episode. We'll see you soon, guys. Bye-bye. I want to let you in on a little secret. Creating this podcast is my favorite thing to do. Now, I have a pretty amazing job all around, but podcasting is my happy place. Of course, podcasting doesn't pay the bills, and I have 6 kids, remember? So I wanted to remind you of the 3 ways I help schools through my paid programs. Number one, and most popular, is my membership group. You can join my exclusive virtual community designed for school social media managers. It offers a treasure trove of resources, including Canva templates, daily support, live weekly training sessions, and access to a vast library of webinars. You guys, with over 400 schools across the country already benefiting from this vibrant community, you'll gain insights and tools that can supercharge your school's social media presence. Number two way that I serve schools is speaking. I love to share my passion for social media, and I do this with communication organizations across the country and school districts. You know, my keynotes really deliver actionable tips and strategies that can be implemented immediately, ensuring that your school stays ahead of the communication curve. And last, number three, my team and I, we actually do social media management for schools. So many school districts struggle to stay consistent on social media, and that's due to a lack of dedicated communication personnel. So that's where we come in. Our team will partner with your school district to manage your Facebook and Instagram accounts, and we ensure a consistent flow of compelling stories that come directly from your staff. That's it. If you are interested in getting more details on number one, the membership group, number two, speaking, number three, the social media management, hop on over to my website, socialschool4edu.com. And then until next time, keep telling those stories.